Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good morning, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Vasi Huntalis, your host for Dreaming Big, Leading Boldly. Our topic today is letting go with ease. And with me here is our leading lady, Denise Levine, and she's the owner of Outside In Organizer and Makeovers. Good morning, Denise.
Good morning, Vasi. I hope you're having a clutter-free day.
Well, it's funny you should mention that, Denise, because right before we started, I just had to clear off a few things around me, you know, and knowing that I would be talking with you. And yes, clutter-free. I like that intention for us.
Yeah.
And especially starting this beginning of the year. And I wanted to just let our listeners know that Denise is a productivity and organizing professional. And she has been helping individuals and small business owners find ways to be more productive and organized. And, you know, Denise, I know so many of us, when we start our businesses, you know, it's comes from a personal story or experience that's actually very meaningful to us, and it's not random. So let's start by finding out more. How did you come to be a organizing and time management professional?
Okay, and let's make it a little easier because that's a mouthful. So you can just call me a professional organizer. Recently, the title changed in our professional organization, but I still think of myself as a professional organizer primarily. And it turns out that those seeds were planted way early in my childhood. So my background was actually in special education and administration. So I worked in the school systems on the East Coast and West Coast for many years, and I loved what I did. But come around 2008, I decided that I wanted to have my own business. I just didn't know what it was. And I worked with a professional business coach, and, you know, they have you go through exercises asking you, what did you like to do when you were a child? What did people tell you you were good at as you were growing up and became an adult? And this whole concept of organizing came up. And I thought, you know, I can remember when I was a little kid, I'd be organizing my mother's kitchen cupboards. And I always thought that was kind of weird. Like, why wasn't I outside playing more? But when I asked my mother, I said, why don't you send me out to play? She said, well, you just seem so happy organizing. And I thought, oh, that's really interesting. So working with the coach, I started researching the industry. I didn't even know it was a worldwide industry. And I just became completely aligned with, this is something I can do, something I can become more professional and trained to do. You know, some clients will ask me, well, do you have to be born to organize? You know, is that something you're just either born with or not? And I don't think so. I think it's a learned behavior. It's something that we tap into. Like when you cleared your desk this morning, did you feel better? You know, I'm really about the feeling state of the process and the result, because I think that's what motivates most people. If it makes you feel good, then being organized is something you want to try and maintain. So yes, in the time I was a little kid, I was organizing, and it just kept coming up over and over again, and the rest was history, as they say.
Yeah, I like that the seeds of that were from when you were young, you know, and that was what you're good at. And then you came from a background in education so that you can teach people how to do this? Because you said, you know, it's something to learn, you know, and we don't always come to that naturally. So what do
right.
you...
And, you know, I was just going to add one little thing, if that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I erroneously thought I'm going to make a big career change and do something entirely different. But like many of us, when we change careers, I found out that what makes me different as a professional organizer was my background in education. Only this time I'm breaking down overwhelming tasks for very motivated adults. So you can never really leave your background. You just take it and help it evolve into something that serves you now. So I just wanted to add that for anyone who's listening and thinking, you know, you need to throw the baby out with the bathwater. No.
You know, it's so important what you said, because it's about taking what you're doing to another level and also bringing things together, you know, that you maybe haven't brought before, like the organizing piece. Yeah.
Exactly.
So tell us about, you said something about working with very motivated adults. Who do you work with?
That's a great question, because there are so many professional organizers and we all resonate with certain kinds of people. And I will tell you that although I've worked with men and women, I've even worked with adolescents because they need organizational skills. My ideal client is female, someone who is very intelligent, very interesting, and get overwhelmed by this daunting task of what do I do with all of this stuff? Or how do I manage all of the things I have to do during a given week and still have time to nurture myself and take care of myself? So she's typically a woman between 40 and 70 who is just finally at a point where she's tried over and over again to do those things on her own, and she just needs someone to coach or guide her about where to get started and how to proceed. Because often I'll get the phone call and the person will say, you know, I've tried to do this and I get organized and then it all comes back again. What am I doing wrong? So it's really a very side-by-side process that my hope is it makes that person feel more empowered about getting their life under control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know what I love about how you work is there is an element of innovation to it. You're not the typical professional organizer. So what is it that you find is different about the way in which you work with clients and what you offer?
Well, for one thing, as we talked about earlier, I think my background in education makes me unique in that I can really help the client determine and clarify for themselves what are their goals. You know, we have this idea that being a minimalist is really valuable, but that's not true for everyone. People are soothed when they're surrounded by things they love. So being able to clarify goals and then break down what are the steps we need to take to get there, and all of my education background talks about, you know, building success. We're no different as adults than we were as kids. We want to be successful. I think another thing about what makes me different is I am committed to being part of our professional organization. There are people out there who could easily call themselves professional organizers, never take a course, maybe never read a book, and not be part of the organization. But I think for my own sense of credibility and ongoing professional development, it's really important to me that I can offer ongoing innovations in the industry to my clients, because it's a very unusual kind of work to do, Vasi. It's the only kind of work where you're really trying to put yourself out of business. You want to transfer what you can teach the client so they can do it on their own. And sort of like a teacher, you want the kids to graduate.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting. And I think the third thing that makes me different is I've done quite a bit of study in the area of mindfulness. And I bring to my work and interactions with the client elements of mindfulness-based stress reduction. I bring those principles into it because that ideal client I talked about is very hard on herself, lacks the trust that she can do it, lacks the patience to take the time to get there. And all of those things, you know, I'll tell someone, use what they call a beginner's mind. Walk into the space as if you've never seen it before, and then create a vision of what you'd like it to look like and how you want it to function. Does that make sense?
Totally makes sense. Yeah. Because what you're doing is you're bringing them mind, body, feelings into what they're wanting to create. You know, not just from their head, but from their heart and their feelings, and how do you want this space to be? So that mindfulness piece is really unique. And what have you found when your clients have done that, when they've gone into the spaces and really envisioned it differently?
Well, the first thing that pops up is that self-judgment and, you know, helping them recognize, okay, is that serving you to say, oh, this place is a mess, or I can't believe how I've let it go, and reframing it for them. And what they say to me is that they feel a sense of calm. And then as they work and they see they're doing it, they feel a sense of relief, like this is doable now. It's not overwhelming. It's not a sense of failure. And it gives them that can-do attitude. And, you know, there's also, you mentioned the mind-body connection. For some people, they let go more easily when they touch the object and they tell you a story about it. And then they can let it go. There are other people who are completely blocked. If they touch the item, they reinforce the attachment that they have emotionally or psychologically to it. And it could even be a piece of paper. You know, it's a very unique situation where you have to understand as a professional organizer what is important to that client, because it's going to be slightly different or entirely different for other people. And it requires a lot of listening and a lot of observing what is not said.
Do you have a powerful story about that, about letting go? Since our topic today is letting go with ease, you have a powerful story of someone who did let go and what that was like for them.
Yes, I was thinking you might ask me something like that. And there, in one of my earlier years, I had an opportunity to work with three widows who were at different points in their grieving and realized that they needed to begin to let go of their deceased spouse's belongings. And there was one woman in particular, just a lovely woman. She'd been widowed about a year. And she wanted me to help her at first with his clothing. And no matter how many books I've read, how many courses I've taken, there was never a specific answer to her question, which was, how many of his ties may I keep? And I had to really think about that. And, you know, there is no Julie Morgenstern or Marie Kondo book that says, allow your client to keep a dozen ties. So I just kind of paused and thought about it, and I said, and, you know, I had a number in my head, but instead of answering her, I asked her, how many would make you happy? And she thought about it, and she said, six. And I'd been thinking 10 would be a good number, and I said, six would be a wonderful number. And over the course of the time working with her, as she told me stories about when they traveled and he wore a certain item, I noticed that the momentum was increasing and she seemed lighter physically, and she started getting rid of his stuff like en masse. And it became easier because she realized that the memories she had weren't really truly related to the things that used to be his. And she was one of those clients that you treasure because you come back for another session and she would say, I got rid of all of this or I got rid of all of that. And I have a great relationship with the guy at Goodwill. And it was just so reinforcing for both of us. So that story will always stand out in my mind. And I really do treasure how a complete stranger allows you into their home and tells you these stories and lets you see things that either make them sad or make them feel ashamed because they've collected a lot of things. And they trust you. They realize you're not going to judge them. You're not going to tell them what to get rid of. You have to ask, I have to ask the questions that allow them to make those decisions.
Oh, that's such a beautiful story. Yeah. And it's so, there's such an honoring that you have of people. That's what I'm really hearing as you work with them. And that question, you know, how many ties would make you happy to keep? You know, I mean, that is such, that allows the person to really let go at a deeper level, you know, and it's a process, isn't it? That's what I hear you talking about, is this is a process to let go.
It really is a process. And, you know, we're at a stage in our lives where we're going through a lot of transitions. We are looking at retirement or maybe already there. We are looking at the potential of losing a partner or a spouse or an adult child moving back in for a variety of reasons. There's always transition. So I like to compare getting organized and staying organized to getting fit. There's no program of fitness that I know of where you get fit and then you can stop doing it and you stay fit. And organizing is like that too. You have to revisit it. It's never going to be as overwhelming as it was in the beginning, but our lives change. We bring more things into our homes and offices. And so if you have the foundational steps of organizing, you can apply that to any transition comes up, and they will, because change is inevitable.
Isn't that the truth? Yes, absolutely.
Yes, whether we like it or not.
Exactly. So I'm thinking back to, you know, many of our listeners, and I know I personally can relate to that feeling of overwhelm that you talked about. And you know, wanting to have enough time to nurture myself and do all the other things that make me happy and yet, you know, trying to keep organized and manage my time. So what are a few tips that you might give those of us that are in that place of going through those moments of overwhelm?
Oh, I'm so happy you asked, because sometimes we get stuck on the idea of organizing and stuff and clutter. And really, when someone calls me and asks me to help them with getting rid of clutter and getting organized, the first thing I actually do is an assessment of their time management skills. So I would say to listeners, if you want to get organized, treat your time the way you would your space and first assess what is everything that you are currently spending your time doing without judgment. Just make a long list in no particular order of everything that you have to do personally and professionally and look at how you're spending your time. Maybe keep a log over a 3 to 5 day period and just get that beginner's mind, that idea of, oh, how am I spending my time? Where am I trying to do too much? Where am I so-called wasting time? And then look at, if you had more time in any given day, what would you like to be doing that you haven't been able to do for whatever reason? Again, no judgment. And so doing that inventory and then beginning to look at things that you can purge. What are the things that you're doing that you don't want to do and you don't need to do? What are the things that you're doing that you're spending time on, but you don't necessarily have to be the one to do it? What could you delegate? What could you outsource? So what you're doing in going through these steps is making a very intentional decision about what you can let go of, you know, really assigning value to it. I have a quick story about another client who was saying, we were working on time management, and she was saying, you know, every Christmas I get so overwhelmed, and I love making these baskets that are very personalized for everyone in the family, but nobody really cares if I do it or not. And yet she was totally overwhelmed by having that expectation for herself. The other part of that was that she clearly loved doing it. And I said, you know, maybe it doesn't need to be all or none. Maybe since they don't appreciate it, but you get so much out of doing it, you can pick two or three relatives that you want to do it for to make yourself happy in that process of really showing them you know them by the items you're putting in the baskets and giving to them. And then you've lightened your load. So that would be another way to assess your time. Do I really have to do it all?
Nice. That's a great balance, because she still got to do it, and yet people also got to receive the gifts.
Yes.
As well.
Yes, and the ones
yeah.
who didn't care probably never missed it. So, you know, we are the masters of our own time, and that's. I used to give a talk on, are you managing your time or is it managing you? You know, we need to sometimes create some space in between what we're doing and what we want to do to really assess it. And then once you whittle down that list of the things that you want to do or only you can do, or you just have no choice, there were some of those things, then where can we put that in a week's time? Because every week's a little different. But if you have, you know, exercise is so common. I want to do more exercise. Well, you have to look at, maybe you can't go out and run for an hour every day. Let's be realistic. Let's start somewhere, because we all know with organizing, you're creating new habits, you're creating new behaviors, and the way to succeed is to build consistency. So even if that person who wanted to run every day for an hour ran for an hour twice a week and was able to do that for 6 weeks, then she can build on that, instead of setting herself up for potential failure because she doesn't have time to run for an hour every day. And, you know, it's that concept, less is more. And looking at what benefit do we derive from doing it, even if it's not the perfect, whatever that perfect number is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that idea of perfect number is, we're trying to be perfect out the gate, as opposed to seeing this as a learning experience. Because what I'm really seeing what you work with people on is taking those baby steps so that they can start to build momentum. And then eventually, you know, they're out on their own. You've got this momentum you're going in, you're focused and you're mindful. So Denise, I wanted to ask you, just in case our listeners may want to reach you after our show, how would you like them to contact you?
Oh, thank you. Well, my phone number is 760-809-8851. But I would invite listeners to go to my website, which is www.outsideinorganizer.com. And there you'll find not only my phone number, but a little bit about testimonials and the work I do, and my email address. And whatever people are comfortable with in the way of text, phone call, email, I'm very happy to speak with someone. You know, I mentioned that this is a very trusting relationship, Vasi. It has to be where we are interviewing one another to make sure that person is comfortable allowing me into their space and into their stories. So those would be the best ways that people can access me. And I'm happy to talk to anyone, even, you know, if they want to try and do it on their own.
Wonderful. Thank you for that. And for our listeners, if you didn't catch those contact details, we'll have that information listed in our show notes. So you'll have that there. And gosh, you know, what else? Here we are at the beginning of the year, and I realize that some people may be listening to this at different times of the year. But is there anything else that you would want to offer to help people let go with ease? Just maybe one simple thing they might be able to do today, in fact.
Absolutely. Attachment is a big thing. We become attached to things or activities in the way we spend our time. I would say allow yourself a trial period. So if you have something tangible that you think you should get rid of, and there are no shoulds, but you think that, put it away somewhere and make a deadline in your mind that if you haven't needed it, wanted it, or used it for a certain amount of time, that at that point you're willing and able to let it go. You know, again, it's not all or none, because once you donate or consign something or put it in the trash, then you can never get it back. So I would say take a baby step and just say, okay, really don't like that, but I feel guilty because someone gave it to me, and just put it away, out of sight, and give yourself a month, whatever's comfortable to you, and just observe. And most people will say to me, I thought I was going to miss it, and I never missed it.
And there's your answer, right? Right there, there's your answer.
Yeah, but they've decided, and they didn't have to do anything, you know, dramatic and create anxiety for themselves. They feel like, oh, I can do this. So that's the most important thing, is feeling really good about your decisions. And, you know, we are consumer-based society. We hold ourselves to very high and perfect standards, and sometimes we just have to be more gentle with ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are hardest on ourselves oftentimes, aren't we?
Yes.
I found that to be
myself
true.
Included.
Yeah.
Even organizers hire organizers. So don't be surprised by that. We all have different specialties, and it's different when it's your things versus someone else's things. So it's a wonderful partnership, and I'm so honored by my clients and the work that I get to do. And I hope that doesn't sound too hokey, but it really, it's the best career I've ever had in my whole life.
Oh, that's so wonderful to hear. And I really hear that in, as you talk about it, there's a lot of joy and passion, and so many people are, you know, looking for that, you know, in their work or evolving their business. And, you know, is there any tip just in general that you would give people who are at that place that are wanting to have a career or a business that they just have that much passion and joy? Well, where would you tell them to start?
Yes, I would tell them to go to the NAPO, NAPO.net website. That's the National Association of Productivity and Organizing Specialists. And look at when our next chapter meetings are here in San Diego. And no matter where you live, there is a chapter either in person or virtually everywhere in the country. And just go in as a guest and listen. We have potential organizer meetings before the chapter meetings 4 times a year. People can ask questions. There's no commitment. And I'll tell you, the very first time I walked into a meeting, I thought, wow, we're all going to do the same thing, and it's the most welcoming, non-competitive environment. It's very supportive. There are also tons of books, and of course, you know, there's a lot of chatter about Marie Kondo and the tidying up, organizing books and program on Netflix. Just immerse yourself in it and see if it's really a fit. Some people I know come to a meeting and they want to intern and just kind of shadow you when you're on a job. And they find out it's really not for them. They don't know what they thought it was. So that's okay too. It's just try it out with an experienced organizer. And of course, respect the privacy of the client. But it's just, it's a great way. It's like student teaching when you want to become a teacher. How many people study education and they find out they don't really want to be in a classroom? So I would encourage people to come to NAPO San Diego, look at the national website, and call me if they have questions. I'm a cheerleader for the profession, and there is enough clutter to go around. So the more the merrier.
Yes, there is, isn't there?
There is. And there is.
You mentioned books, and I just wanted to let our listeners know that you've written a inspirational book called Organizing Your Life from Outside In, and it's inspiration for women who want to simplify their life. So I assume there's information about that on your website, too, Denise,
there
right?
is, and they can find the book on Amazon. I just like to make sure that people understand it is not a how-to-organize book. What I did with that book was I kept hearing my clients articulate really negative things about themselves, like I never get anything done, or I always look terrible, or I have too many clothes in my closet. And I would turn each of those statements into positive, more affirmational statements. And I did a collection of those in that book that was simply meant to be a great reminder that all is not lost. You are getting things done. You just get to reassess what you want to do. So I hope the book is uplifting. I think it makes a great little gift. And yes, it's on the website and it's on Amazon.
Great. And you know, I gave it as a gift to someone, and it just, you put a lot of love and mindfulness into that book, that's for sure.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And so before we sign off, I just wanted to ask you, what would you like to leave our listeners with?
I would like to leave your listeners with encouragement and optimism about just being really clear on what would make their lives more simplified and more streamlined, and to allow yourself the opportunity to let go of things that no longer serve you. And I don't mean just tangible things. Look at what you're doing and look at how you're spending your time. And, you know, I would ask you to say to yourself, if I had 15 more minutes in the day, what would I want to use those 15 minutes for? And just think about that. I had a client who once said, well, I would like to write more poetry. So I asked her to set her alarm 15 minutes early, because I encourage people to get good sleep. I don't want them staying up later. But I said, just set your alarm 15 minutes earlier with the commitment that you're going to write poetry for 15 minutes before your day starts. And that's what I would like to offer your clients, is the gift of time. It's yours. Don't let it manage you.
So important. Well, thank you so much, Denise. And that's our show for today. And thank you so much again, Denise Levine, for being our leading lady today. And a special thanks
to
all our listeners. You're welcome. And our listeners both in the United States and internationally, we thank you for listening. And we'll be back again for another Women Lead Radio show, Mondays at 9 a.m. and Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific. And this is Vasi Hantalis, your host of Dreaming Big, Leading Boldly. Remember to stay true to you and your dream by asking yourself this important question: what's the next bold step I can take to move my vision forward? And be the bold leader you were born to be, and go for it.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where life-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.